Oriona, Book 1, Legacy. Chapter 4, A New Mantra, Ryan. General Care Clinic, Level 18, Edgepoint Station.
The medical wing on Level 18 never truly quieted. A constant whirl of sterilizers merged with the metallic squeal of worn-out machines, their constant protests reminding everyone that the equipment was older than it had any right to be. The stinging scent of antiseptic clung to every surface, battling an undercurrent of something older and sour, an unshakable residue of illness in the air. Dr. Ryan Jangu stripped off his gloves with a motion born of habit, though each snap felt heavier today. Long hours weren't new, but the emotional burden had grown. Settlers and mineral miners showed up with radiation burns etched into their skin or lungs scarred by toxic dust. Still, they insisted on returning to work, chasing a contract completion bonus that might keep their families fed. Pirates brought injuries all their own, plasma scorches from failed raids, improvised prosthetics gone septic, or savage cuts from brawls over worthless spoils. They too never lingered, certain that any delay put them at a disadvantage. For every wound he patched, three more waited in line, and he was keenly aware that he could only do so much. Medicine is the sum of small victories when the larger battle feels unwinnable. Ryan had repeated that mantra through years of frontier clinics. Today, it rang hollow.
Dr. Jangu!
Called a bright voice from behind, piercing his thoughts. Ryan turned, rubbing the fatigue from his eyes as he spotted Nyx hovering by the supply cabinet. The Tarikaran's yellow and orange skin caught the fluorescent glow. Two slender antennae rose from his smooth scalp, each one moving in time with the shifting light, while his large, glossy eyes took everything in at once. Between his long fingers, Nyx juggled a cluster of delicate vials with showy flair, as if none of them were brimming with life or death resources. Earlier in their partnership, Ryan would have rushed over in horror, but he'd learned that behind Nyx's theatrical gestures lay a knack for absolute control. The Tarikaran's jumpsuit was testament to that same mixture of chaos and order. Every pocket bulged with something: medical tools, engineering implements, possibly a container of illicit Centurion med dust. Various gadgets dangled from his belt, jingling like charms on an overfilled bracelet.
Do you want the good news first, or the bad news?
There's good news, Ryan asked mildly.
Relatively.
Nyx grinned, setting the vial on a nearby shelf.
We still have a tiny stock of bioregenerative meds, for now.
And the bad? Nyx's grin widened.
We're completely out of everything else. Plasma packs, neural stabilizers, analgesics, you name it, we don't have it.
Ryan pinched the bridge of his nose. So, the next miner who comes in with a crushed arm, or the next person who thinks a plasma blade is a neat solution to an argument, is out of luck and we'll be improvising?
Exactly,
Nyx said, his voice far too chipper for the dire situation. He slid the remaining vials into the cabinet and dusted off his hands.
I do love a good challenge.
Ryan didn't reply immediately. Instead, he turned back to the examination table where a young dock worker lay unconscious, his breathing shallow and labored. The bruising around his ribs suggested internal damage, damage that required resources they didn't have. He rested a hand lightly on the young man's shoulder, his fingers brushing the worn fabric of his uniform. This one's spirit is dim, Ryan thought, the familiar pull of intuition stirring in his chest. Not broken, but flickering. Fragile.
Do you think he'll make it?
Nyx asked, his tone softer now as he leaned against the counter. Ryan let his hand linger for a moment longer. He might, but time isn't on our side. Unless we can restock properly, every hour his odds slip. Nyx let out a quiet huff, antennae dipping a fraction.
That's edge point, though, isn't it? You're optimistic to think it'll suddenly straighten itself out.
Ryan didn't answer. Instead, he walked to the far corner of the room where a simple meditation bench sat tucked between the shelves. It was an unassuming thing, wooden with soft fabric stretched across its surface. But it had followed him from station to station, planet to planet, like a piece of his soul carved into the physical world. He lowered himself onto the bench, folding his legs beneath him. The noise of the room faded into the background as he closed his eyes, focusing on the rhythmic cadence of his breath. Inhale. Exhale. His mind steadied. His thoughts slowed.
Are you meditating?
Nix asked, breaking the quiet.
Now? Really?
Ryan cracked an eye open. Would you rather I collapse under the pressure? Nix raised both hands in mock surrender.
Point taken.
The air around Ryan shifted, the sharp sterility of the room softening as his mind reached inward. He'd learned long ago that the galaxy's chaos couldn't be conquered with force, only steadied by stillness. And here, amidst the broken and the bleeding, that stillness was his sanctuary. There is always balance, he reminded himself. Even in the void. The quiet didn't last. A soft chime echoed through the medbay, drawing Ryan's attention back to the present. He glanced toward the console, where a message flashed in bold letters.
Crew contract offer. Medic position. Edge point station. Level 12. Hangar Bay C. The Oriona.
Ryan scanned the details. A year-long contract on an exploration vessel, generous monthly pay, proper medical facilities on board. The final payout was large enough to open a new clinic, maybe even the kind of facility that could handle the challenges here in the frontier. Interesting. Ryan said quietly.
That's all you've got?
Nix exclaimed, leaning in to read over his shoulder.
A ship with big money and an even bigger sense of mystery recruits you out of nowhere, and your reaction is interesting? Where's your sense of adventure?
I can be intrigued without jumping up and down, Ryan said, arching an eyebrow at him. Nix tapped the screen.
It's perfect. Dangerous, no doubt. Possibly full of questionable characters. Everything I love in a job. Plus, look at that salary.
Ryan folded his arms. They need a medic, not someone who's... What do you even call yourself?
A vital asset,
Nix announced with mock solemnity.
Every dedicated doctor needs a competent assistant. Passable sidekick.
Ryan pressed his lips together, surveying the offer again. This could be serious. We'd finally have access to top-spec medical equipment, and maybe even the ability to send credits back here. Nix nodded.
We'd be able to put my talents to better use. Plus, you'd be miserable without my dazzling conversation.
Ryan tilted his head. I'd survive.
Barely.
Nix teased, that confident glint back in his eyes.
Look, if it's awful, we leave. Or we liberate some supplies and then make our grand exit.
Ryan gave a long-suffering sigh, about to respond when the medbay doors slid open.
Ah, shit!
Dr. Vasquez, the station's head physician, charged in with the usual whirlwind energy that made her both effective and exhausting. She rarely minced words, and this time was no different.
Jengu,
she said curtly, glancing at her datapad.
You're on for an extra 5 hours tomorrow.
Ryan raised an eyebrow. I'm already scheduled for 14.
Then it'll be 19,
she replied without looking up. Behind her, Nix leaned against the supply cabinet, his antennae moving with a mix of amusement and indignation. His eyes caught the fluorescent light, revealing a glimmer of mischief. He straightened, spreading his hands in mock dismay.
19 hours. Dr. Vasquez, do you hate him? Truly, did he offend you in another life? Did he forget your birthday? This level of cruelty can't just be a random act.
Dr. Vasquez froze mid-scroll, turning to glare at Nix.
Excuse me?
Nix conjured an elaborate display of mock outrage as he turned toward an unseen audience, gesturing at Ryan with the flourish of a street performer revealing life's greatest tragedy.
Observe, if you will, the slow dissolution of medical dignity. 19 hours does terrible things to a human frame. Look how the shadows beneath his eyes have developed their own ecosystems. His posture,
The antennae drooped in sympathetic collapse.
Once proud and professional, now suggests the artificial gravity generator has taken personal offense. And his aura...
His naturally glossy eyes caught the light like faceted gems as they widened in stage-worthy horror.
Soon we'll need specialized equipment to detect the fragments of his scattered spirit. I'll have to requisition a new form just to document where we found all the pieces.
Nix, Ryan interjected quietly, his tone both amused and warning. But Nix wasn't done. He pushed off the cabinet, pacing in a way that seemed to imitate one of his favorite crime hollows.
And where does it end, Dr. Vasquez? Today, 19 hours. Tomorrow, 24. By next week, poor Jengu will be wheeled around on a gurney, running IVs on himself while apologizing for being so slow. And you?
He pointed an elongated finger at her.
You'll be the villain of every bedtime story they tell med students for generations.
Dr. Vasquez stared, her data pad slowly lowering as her lips pressed into a thin line. With a grandiose twist that seemed choreographed for an audience, Nix whirled to face Ryan.
I say no more. Dr. Jengu, we're staging a walkout, effective immediately. Come on.
We are? There was no shock in his voice. Just the dry tolerance of someone who'd predicted this the moment Nix saw the Oriona's offer.
Yes,
Nix declared firmly, grabbing a med bag and stuffing it haphazardly with random supplies.
We are. For the sake of dignity in the workplace. For the principle of it all. For your poor, overworked bones.
Vasquez sputtered, trying to form a coherent response.
You, he, what?
Nix swung the bag over one shoulder, antennae moving with defiance.
We quit,
he said brightly, savoring the declaration.
You don't even work here.
Vasquez's tone had more than a tinge of annoyance.
Jengu?
Ryan sighed, pressing two fingers to his temple, but there was no mistaking the slight smile already forming. It would seem we do. Vasquez's face flushed red, her mouth opening and closing as if searching for words.
You can't just...
We can!
Nix interrupted, already halfway to the door, waving cheerfully.
And we are. We'll write. Maybe.
Ryan gave Vasquez a polite nod, his tone mild as he collected the few items he had, folding the meditation bench under his arm. Thank you for the opportunity, Doctor. I appreciate everything, but this environment isn't sustainable. All patient files are up to date. Bed 3 will require his injection when the timer goes off. As Vasquez gaped after them, Nix reached the door and turned back, bowing extravagantly.
Farewell, Dr. Vasquez. Oh, and please do remember to water the fungal cultures in the storage closet. They've survived 3 different medical teams and 2 reactor malfunctions. Impressive little specimens, really. I did notice they've migrated over to your personal beverage synthesizer, but after our conversation followed by your station-wide memo on the sanctity of personal property, my hands were tied. Anyways, happy hydrating and see ya!
With that, he disappeared through the door, leaving Vasquez standing speechless, surrounded by chaos.
Time for patient anal injection.
When the doors hissed shut behind them, the corridor beyond felt quieter than usual, as if the station itself couldn't believe what had just happened. Dim overhead lights cast shadows against metal walls, picking out dents and scuffs from decades of hasty repairs. Nix slung the med bag over his shoulder and smirked.
You're welcome, by the way. I just saved you from a very dull future.
Was that really necessary? Ryan asked curiously.
We make a memorable exit or none at all. Besides, we're a team. You're the steady one, I'm everything else.
Ryan sighed, letting a hint of a smile show. That arrangement is up for debate. As they passed a cluster of repair drones fussing over some sparking conduit, the mix of scorched metal and recycled air made Ryan's eyes sting. Dust-laden vents exhaled in uneven spurts, giving the corridor a stale, industrial feel. Nix glanced sideways at Ryan, his usual smirk softening.
You're not mad, are you?
No, Ryan said simply. But I am curious. Why are you still so determined to leave with me? Nix let out a dramatic sigh, rolling his eyes for effect.
Oh, Doctor, have you already forgotten our origin story? The epic tale of my unjust incarceration? You gave me my freedom, my purpose, my...
DeCavo Detention Center. 2 years earlier.
He watched tendrils of steam drift from his forgotten mint tea, each curl dissipating into the harsh light of the detention facility's medical wing. The data pad in his hands cataloged a relentless inventory of suffering. Fractured ribs from training accidents, infected wounds from recreational sparring, bureaucratic euphemisms that couldn't mask the systematic brutality. What had been marketed as a rehabilitation center seemed to operate more like a gladiatorial arena. Ryan kept such observations locked behind careful neutrality as he documented another inmate's suspicious contusion pattern. The facility's cameras tracked his movements with predatory focus, their targeting sensors audible just at the edge of hearing. He'd accepted this position thinking it would be temporary, a few months of basic medical care while he planned his next move. But the universe had a way of entangling those who noticed too much, who cared more than they should.
Patient number 8429.
The guard barked, shoving the next prisoner into the examination room. Instead of stumbling, the prisoner transformed the misstep into a grandiose pirouette, turning potential bullied embarrassment into deliberate showmanship. A Tariqarin, Ryan noted, his medical mind cataloging details beneath the performance. The scattered purple dots across yellow-orange skin resembled star charts as the prisoner moved. The twin antenna unique to his species continued broadcasting a complex mix of annoyance and amusement in patterns Ryan had studied during his academy years.
You know, a proper introduction costs nothing,
the reptilian said, smoothing his prison jumpsuit as if it were formal diplomatic attire. His oversized eyes caught and amplified the harsh lighting, revealing depths that spoke of cave-dwelling ancestors and carefully hidden intelligence. It was unusual to encounter a Tariqarin this far from inner meridian zone systems. They rarely traveled alone, preferring the company of their own kind and warmer climates than what this frontier star system offered. As a founding galactic council species, they were notoriously law-abiding citizens, rarely associated with criminal activity. His presence in a detention facility raised more questions than it answered.
I'm Nixori. Nix, if you value your time.
The guard's knuckles whitened around his weapon.
Dislocated shoulder. Fix him up, Doc, but don't get too chatty. This one's got a mouth.
An unfair assessment,
Nix retorted, his tone dripping with mock offense.
I've been nothing but a model prisoner.
Ryan set down his tea and motioned for Nix to sit on the examination table. The guard crossed his arms, looming nearby, but Nix shot him a pointed look.
Do you mind? Some of us appreciate a little privacy during our medical moments.
Sit,
the guard barked. Ryan tried to help alleviate the tension, gesturing to the exam table, noting how Nix's antennae tracked his movement with focused attention that didn't match his cavalier attitude. How'd it happen? Ryan asked, his fingers finding the swollen joint. The injury told its own story, the angle suggesting resistance rather than accident. Fresh bruising layered over older marks.
An unfortunate misunderstanding,
Nix said, his antennae twitching as Ryan probed the injury.
Apparently, this establishment takes issue with borrowing highly restricted technology for personal research. The device did manage to purge the source of that nasty Hoana T7 food virus making its rounds, but did I get a thank you card? No, that's the real crime here.
Ryan's hands stilled against the neural scanner's surface. The Hoana T7 virus had devastated three sectors, overwhelming even the most advanced medical facilities. This morning's report had claimed a miraculous breakthrough, credited to DeCavo's own lead physician, a man whose contributions to medical science were so minuscule they could be measured in picometers. His actual greatest achievement was maintaining an unbroken attendance record at Galactic Hoverbrawl Championship matches. He studied Nix's face, catching the subtle ripple of satisfaction in those reflective eyes as understanding dawned. And by borrowing, you mean...
stealing.
The guard cut in, checking his comm unit with aggressive disinterest.
Redistributing.
Nix corrected. Right, Ryan said, positioning his hands for the reset. The injury might be straightforward, but the patient was anything but. He'd treated enough Tari Karan to know their species' renowned healing abilities. This will hurt. A sharp movement.
Mawahufauk.
A muffled sound that might have been a curse in ancient Tari Karan, and the joint slipped back into place. Nix rolled his shoulder experimentally, the movement too controlled for someone supposedly caught off guard by the procedure.
Your technique is refreshing, Doc.
Nix said, his body swaying in what Ryan recognized as a gesture of respect.
Most medics in this sector handle Tari Karan anatomy like they're fixing a broken cargo loader.
Ryan picked up a basic tissue scanner, keeping his demeanor unhurried. I'd like to hear more about your Juana T7 work. The protein shell that threw everyone off. What did you notice that nobody else did? Nix's body rippled with contained excitement.
Ah, that tricky little beast. Everyone got hung up on its main infection routes and overlooked the genius in its secondary metabolic phase. Most pathogens go dormant and stay quiet, but T7 maintains a distinct bioelectric signature even during dormancy, a frequency pattern that most scanners dismiss as background noise. I repurposed the kitchen's industrial sterilization unit, recalibrated its electromagnetic array to target that specific frequency. The beauty was in the detection, once I could map the pattern across the food storage systems. Purging the contaminated supplies was straightforward. One targeted pulse sequence, and the virus's dormant phase became its death warrant.
Ryan had suspected the dormancy phase was key, but his previous facility's outdated equipment had kept him from investigating. Clearly, Nix hadn't stumbled onto the truth by luck. He understood the virus at its core.
He's fixed. Stop your yapping, 8429. Back to your cell.
Actually, Ryan said, an idea taking shape as he watched Nix's careful cataloging of the medical supplies within reach. This patient needs overnight observation. Tari Karan's shoulder joints are notoriously complex. One wrong movement during the healing process could cause permanent damage. The guard's face darkened.
Protocol says...
Protocol gives medical authority to the attending physician, Ryan interrupted, marking the overnight stay on his datapad with deliberate strokes. Unless you'd like to explain to Central Command why you overrode medical orders and risked permanent injury to a prisoner. Nix's reptilian eyes twitched with barely suppressed amusement as the guard's jaw worked soundlessly. After a moment of glaring, he stabbed at his comm unit and stomped toward the door.
Your problem now, Doc. Don't say I didn't warn you.
When the door sealed behind him, Nix turned those reflective eyes on Ryan. The playful facade slipped just enough to reveal something sharper beneath.
That was either very kind or very foolish of you.
The virus affected 300 people in this facility alone, Ryan said quietly. The death toll would have been substantial without intervention. Whatever your methods, you saved lives. Nix's restless energy stilled, his expression shifting into something more genuine as he studied Ryan.
Most people stop at stealing is wrong. They don't usually consider the why.
I've worked enough frontier zones to know sometimes healing requires unconventional solutions. Ryan busied himself with preparing a sling, memories of similar choices haunting the edges of his thoughts. Though I imagine your solution was particularly creative.
Had to be. Security here is surprisingly competent, but their understanding of xenobiochemistry is laughably outdated.
Nix's eyes tracked Ryan's movements as he adjusted the sling.
Did you know they're still using baseline human parameters for pathogen detection in a facility with at least 7 distinct biological types? No wonder T7 thrived. It was practically invisible to their scanning protocols.
7 distinct biological types, yet Nix had managed to identify the contamination source and neutralize it before cross-species adaptation could occur. Let's say I've seen enough to know when someone's talents are being wasted. Ryan tapped his data pad, pulling up the detention facility schedule. The guard rotation changes in 2 hours. There's a scheduled power reset for system maintenance at 0300. He met Nix's gaze. And sometimes patients in critical condition require immediate transfer to better equipped facilities. Nix nodded with sudden understanding.
Critical condition sounds serious. Shame about my unexpected allergic reaction to standard treatment protocols. Though such a transfer would place the attending physician in quite the ethical dilemma.
I've found my ethics tend to align with preventing mass outbreaks. Ryan's fingers moved across the data pad, already drafting the transfer order. Besides, I could use a research partner who actually understands xenobiochemistry. Someone who sees the patterns others miss. A low electronic tone signaled the end of the appointment block. Through the observation window, the guard's shadow shifted impatiently. But in that sterile room, among outdated equipment and failed protocols, two minds had already begun to plot a very different kind of medical breakthrough.
Edgepoint Station, present day.
The memory dissolved into the cold corridors of level 18. Nix was at Ryan's side, animatedly describing some improbable scenario involving xenobiology and ethically questionable tools. For all his bravado and showmanship, Ryan knew the Tariqarin was still that resourceful mind who'd risked punishment to save lives.
You see?
Nix said, his voice softening with genuine gratitude.
You gave me a second chance when you broke me out of Dekavo. The least I can do is serve out my sentence by your side, Doctor. I still owe you those years, and I intend to repay them.
Ryan blinked, slightly startled that Nix had caught him drifting through old memories. It never ceased to amaze him how the Tariqarin could detect the subtle shift in his breathing patterns when his mind wandered and returned. Ryan's hand slipped into his pocket, closing around the data pad that held the Oriona's contract. Enough credits there to build something real, something that could offer a chance to treat the impossible cases, instead of sending people back into harm's way, half recovered. His gaze flicked over to Nix, who paused mid-sentence as if sensing the shift in mood. Beneath that boundless energy lay genuine loyalty, the kind of bond Ryan had seen only rarely in his travels. Let's go then, Ryan said quietly, his voice steady.
Seriously?
We head to Hangar Bay 12 and see if this Oriona is everything it claims to be. A wide grin spread across Nix's face.
Now you're speaking my language. Adventure, credits, better equipment, finally some good news around here.
Ryan cast one last glance down the corridor, half expecting Vasquez to storm after them, but the only movement was the uneven lights and the shuffle of a lone repair bot tending to an overheated panel. Let's hope, Ryan said, adjusting the strap of his bag, because if this ship is nothing but empty promises, we'll be back where we started.
Better to try,
Nix replied, reaching up to clap him on the shoulder.
And if the universe implodes around us, at least we'll have front row seats and functioning equipment. Talk about an upgrade from watching Edgepoint's slow descent into spare parts.
They headed for the lift bay, boots ringing out against the station's worn metal floor. Lift C clattered to a stop first. Nix and Ryan exchanged a quick look. They'd seen firsthand what happened when Lift C's failing safety locks gave out unexpectedly. More than once, they'd been the ones stitching up broken limbs and setting fractured bones after its abrupt drops or misalignments. So, they held back as a weary crowd of new arrivals filed into the lift car, then waited until the doors slid shut. Neither spoke, but that mutual understanding passed between them. Only when Lift C rattled on its way did Nix tap the panel again, and after a beat, exhaled and shook his head.
I'd rather walk the maintenance stairs than risk that contraption.
Lift A, usually reserved for levels 3 and up, answered, its lift car sliding to a soft, easy stop. A gentler, melodic chime rang out.
I'm feeling lucky today.
Nix exclaimed as his antennae curved forward with conspiratorial delight. As they stepped inside, he began humming one of the more recent advertisement jingles that had plagued the station for several weeks. Ryan raised an eyebrow. The Meat Loop ad?
Meat Loop, Meat Loop in the tray. Guess the flavor, win no pay. One tray feeds six or one bad day. Scoop it, loop it, look away.
With exaggerated solemnity, Nix caressed the scratched metal of the elevator wall.
Poor Vasquez,
he continued, pressing a spindly hand to his heart.
Her life just became 73% less colorful and 94% less entertaining. I should have left her a recording of my laughter play during particularly dreary inventory counts. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I finally heard back from that handsome Chera mineral miner while I was grabbing our lunch. You know, those pot pies you always praise from Granick's stall? Which he has a fascinating economic model, really. Half price if you opt for the don't ask, don't tell protein option. And knowing your appreciation for unidentified culinary adventures has been most convenient. I could never do it, but your pot pie alone saved us a small fortune.
His words accelerated as he rushed past the revelation.
Anyway, the miner mentioned that old Tavers in Nebula's Edge up on level 9 almost ripped some IMZ hotshot to pieces.
As the lift continued its ascent, the meditation bench folded neatly under Ryan's arm. Nix's long-winded commentary faded into a comfortable background noise, a familiar soundtrack to their partnership. Ryan found his thoughts drifting, a small smile playing at the corners of his mouth as he reflected that no one in the galaxy could hold a grudge-tinged admiration quite like Nix. Despite all his theatrical complaints, Vasquez would likely appear in his conversation every day for the next month, each mention carrying that peculiar blend of irritation and respect that characterized Nix's most meaningful relationships. For the sake of his sanity, Ryan hoped the Oriona would provide more substantial entertainment, though he suspected that Nix would find someone to simultaneously antagonize and secretly admire. Some things, it seemed, transcended mere change of venue.
This week's fragment of our voyage has reached its close. Thank you for accompanying me as I reveal the ongoing chronicles of my universe.
Meat Loop, Meat Loop, in the tray. Guess the flavor, win no pay. One tray feeds six, or one bad day. Scoop it, loop it, look away!
I invite you to return next week for another installment. And for those who wish to immerse themselves fully, complete novels are available. Visit Oriona.com. May your path remain clear until we meet again.